Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Pastor Phil is campus pastor at Weldon Spring. They're probably looking around for Pastor Phil right now at Weldon Spring. He's not there. He's in Vegas. Right? He's on a little hiatus vacation with his wife, but he's a tall, white guy, bald guy. Have y'all ever seen him preaching here at Faith Church? He's a great man, and he got saved at Faith Church. He preached 7 years, like twice a week in student ministry, and he was getting ready to preach his first midweek back in the day. Oh, he was ready. He was excited. He was going for it. He preached the Tuesday night. He slayed it. He was funny. He was deep. He was theological. And he came in on Wednesday, talked to me and Pastor David, and said, "Hey, I quit. I quit. I can't do this. It's too hard. There's too much pressure. Anxious. I couldn't sleep." And we said, "Pastor Phil, we accept your resignation in 6 months, but not today. You see, what's going on is there's some spiritual pressure that has come with this new thing that you've done. And you're feeling the pressure of that. So what we're going to do is press pause." Everybody say, "Press pause."
Press pause.
"We're going to press pause, and we're not going to have you preach again for 6 months. Not because you did anything wrong, because you did everything right. We're going to allow God to have time to grow you, to prepare you, to strengthen you, and to put you in the power position as you acclimate for this thing that he has for you." You see, those are the points from the sermon today. The sermon today is called "The Power of the Pause." Say that to your neighbor. Say, "The power of the pause." There's power in the pause. The problem is a pause feels like you're stuck. Well, I'm not going to get to preach for 6 months. Well, I've been right here in my finances all this time. Well, I've been trying to get married, but won't anybody say yes or give me a ring? I've been trying, God, what's going on? I've been trying to get promoted. I've been trying to move up. What's up? I don't like this pause thing. Boxers pause. They go to their corners to catch their breath and get ready to go. Baseball players pause. Catcher goes out to the mound, calls a timeout, gets the pitcher all settled down again. Oh, basketball players, they pause. They decide what the exact play is going to be so they can win the game. And y'all know football, man, the last 2 minutes of the game, there are so many pauses, it lasts 30 minutes. Pause. Now, I don't play any of those professional sports, but I am a professional TV watcher. Are you with me? And even on TV, they pause with a commercial so we can go potty and get a snack. And if you do that during that time, say amen.
Amen.
We got pauses. And somebody was talking about Mount Everest, and it got me so curious and interested. These mountain climbers, they pause. It takes 7 to 9 weeks to climb Mount Everest. It's a picture of Everest behind me. Tallest peak in the world. 7 to 9 weeks. You got to start going up, 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 up. But the thing about Everest is you don't just go up. There's base camp. Camp 1, Camp 2, Camp 3, Camp 4. Camp 4 is at 26,000 feet, and then there's the summit. So the first climb that you make, you climb to the base camp. You get to the base camp, and you have to acclimate. You have to pause. I think those are two words that we could kind of interchange a little bit, acclimate and pause. You see, acclimatization is the process. Let me read this because it's a definition. It's a process in which an individual organism adjusts to a change in its environment, allowing it to maintain performance across a range of environmental conditions. So as they get to the base camp, they got to get acclimated. They got to get relaxed. They got to get used to 33% less oxygen. They got to get used to the fact that the pressure in the air is different. You see, it's all of these things that we can't see that changed. That's what happened with Pastor Phil. Nothing changed in the physical. Everything he could see was the same, but it was these things that he couldn't see that had changed. So he needed to pause and acclimate. So when they go to Mount Everest, you go to the base camp for 3 or 4 days. Then after you're there, you go to Camp 1. You spend 1 or 2 nights at Camp 1. Then guess what you do? Guess what you do? Where do you go? No, you don't get to go to Camp 2. You got to go back down to base camp. What? You got to go backwards?
Wow.
Yeah, because once you go up like Pastor Phil did, he had to step back for just a moment. and acclimate and get stronger and get prepared and grow so that he could go back up to camp one. And you go back up to camp one a second time for one or two nights. Then you go up to camp two. You go to camp two. You spend one or two nights at camp two. Then guess what you do? No, you don't go back to camp one. You got to go all the way back to base camp. Man, anybody ever gone backward in life?
One step forward and two steps back.
Is that an actual song? Because if not, I'm going to write it. No, I did that in life. You see, I got married before Pastor David, and I thought it was a good marriage. I thought it was right. It felt right when I did it, I guess. Except for he got addicted to drugs, and then he sold everything that was in the house, and he charged up our credit cards, and he spent all our money, and he even sold our TV and our VCR to the pawn man. VCR tells you how long ago it was, right? And so I ended up foreclosed on. I ended up bankrupt. I ended up divorced. I ended up hurt and alone. And here I am way back here, and I'm like, hey, God, excuse me, sir. Anybody ever kind of complain to God in their prayer time? Say amen. Amen. Don't lie in church. Say amen. Amen. I'm like, excuse me, God, I'm way back here. I was already way up there. What's going on? And God's like, you're all right. I'm like, no, God, I'm not all right. He's like, you're all right. You see, the problem is when we're on pause, the enemy starts giving us all of these doubts, and the enemy starts playing this broken record in our head and telling us how bad we are, how we've been passed over, how nobody notices, how we can't do anything right. And God's like, no, even in your mistakes, even in your misgivings, even when you don't do everything right, God knows where you're at. God knew when you were going to get there. And nothing takes God by surprise. He's already got a plan for when you move back. And he said, when you move back here, you think you're stuck and on pause, but I've made a way where there was no way, and I was working on a blessing when you were thinking about a breakthrough. So I'm back here, and I meet this blonde-haired, green-eyed, feisty little preacher boy named David Crank. And if I would have never been here, I would have never met him. I would have never been happy. We would have never built the Faith Church. You would have never been here. And God would have never done this. God had a plan when I was way back here on pause. And he's got a plan for you too. I need somebody to say amen. Come on, Weldon. Ferguson, Florissa, you're going to let them out yo you like that. Come on online. Let's hear it. Tell you what. We weren't created to live a life of constant transition. I'm going to go from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Can you imagine being married to a different person every day? Somebody'd end up dead. But that's what we think we want. Constant transition. Move me forward, move me forward, move me forward, move me forward. God's like, you can't handle that. You got to pause. You got to acclimate. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3 says, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tablet so he that reads it can run with it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It waits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. Well, how's it hurry if it's waiting? It will not lie. Okay. If it seems slow, the next three words are on the screen. Ready? Read them. If it seems slow, it says, you ever heard anybody go, wait for it? Wait for it? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, wait for it. Wait for it. What are we doing right now? We're waiting for it. It says, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. God, how can it not delay if I have to wait for it? Because if I'm waiting for it, it got delayed. God said, it didn't get delayed. It's just not on your time schedule. It's on my time schedule. So we go up to camp one. We got to come back down. We go up to camp two. We got to come all the way back down. And we got to acclimate in this base camp. As Christians, what is our base camp? Well, our base camp is the church of Jesus Christ. The base camp, that's our prayer time with God. There was a kid from the West Palm Beach campus who traveled to St. Louis this weekend with me in Ashton because he wants to be a preacher and wanting to see everything that's happening. And as I was talking to him on the plane, he said, hey, you know, there was a time in my life when I built my life, and then church tried to fit in. There was a time when church was built around my life, like fit here and it fit there. He said, now my life is built around church. Church is that central thing in my life, and I'm moving forward the whole time. There's church. Can I have that booklet? There's church. There's Jesus Christ. There's our prayer time. And there are these iConnect groups. Why are you talking to me about small groups? Are you on commission? No, I'm not on commission. But I am interested in you reaching the summit of your dream. But to reach the summit of your dream, you have to have a base camp set up. To have a base camp set up, there's going to be people around you. If you have the wrong people around you, you're never going to make it. Because after you went to camp one and it felt hard, come on, somebody. You come back down complaining, they complain with you, you never reach the summit. You come down from camp one, you got the right people around, and they're like, come on, baby, I don't think you can make it. I know you can make it. I'm going to go with you so you make it. Let's go together. We're not stopping at camp one. We're going to make it to the top. These are the people that drive you on. You can't make it without a base camp. Pastor Phil had somebody to come back to and talk to when he went through that time, and we didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. We told him what he needed to hear. We architected a plan, and we made sure Pastor Phil was good and ready to preach that next Tuesday night. Come on, somebody. He didn't just preach the next Tuesday night. He came to that next Tuesday night. His theology was sound. He was on it. He was whack. He was ready. He was on. He changed people's lives. He shrunk hell and grew heaven. He came back on Wednesday morning and I said, how you doing, Pastor Phil? He's like, you put me up any weekend you want. I got this. I got this. I got this. But then we had to wait and acclimate because preaching the weekend's a whole nother spiritual pressure than preaching a Tuesday. Every time you got to pause. Everybody say pause. So why do we pause? Why do we acclimate? We got four reasons. Number one is to get strong enough. Isaiah 40, verse 31, who says, but those who wait, those who pause, those who acclimate on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles wild in spring. They shall run and not grow weary. Run up that mountain. They'll just walk and they will not faint. For the Lord goes before him, and his joy will be our strength. How do we do that? We got to get strong. Everybody say, get strong. How do we renew our strength? We got to wait. Everybody say, wait. Turn to your neighbor and say, just pause. We get upset about the pause. We think people are passing us up, but I'm holding still. You know, I just thought of this. I hadn't said this in any other service. Big Dave, which was my David's dad, we called him Big Dave. Big Dave used to always say, it might look like you're going slower, but you're really going faster. Wow. You see, that's what happens when you listen to God. And that's what happened to King David in the Bible. You see, King David was shepherd boy David, and shepherd boy David was really son David, and son David got left out by his daddy. You see, Samuel, who is the prophet, came to Jesse, David's daddy's house, and said, give me all your boys. I'm going to anoint a new king today. It's at your house. God told me that. Where's all your boys? Jesse calls everybody, puts them in a line, except David. He leaves David on the back of a hill, tending to sheep. Right. So Samuel comes up. He's like, you got any more boys, Jesse? Because this isn't it. You see, you think you got forgot about. Come on. You think you got passed over. Yeah. You think they're not seeing you. But God says in Psalm 75, promotion doesn't come from the north, the south, or east, or the west. It says that God is the judge. He sees where you are. He sees who you are. And he can make room for you no matter who's not looking at you. He's the one who takes one down and puts one up. God has your back no matter where you're at. Somebody say amen. So he's like, well, I got this one boy on the back of a hill, but he's kind of small, kind of sassy. Like, write songs and then kill stuff. It's weird. Bring me that boy. Anoint some king. Finally, my recognition, I've been waiting for this. Somebody has noticed me. And then it happens again. See, he got up to there. He knew he was going to be king, but he had to pause with just knowing he was going to be king. So I'm going to be king. Where's my crown? Go back to the field, boy. Go back where? Go back to the field, boy. Go back. Go back to the field. All right. He goes back to the field. All the other boys get to go to the battle. Well, I want to be a warrior. I want to be cool. If I'm going to be king, I need to know how to fight. No, back to the field. All the other brothers go, and then finally dad comes to the field one day. He says, David, you want to go to the battle? David's like, yeah, I want to go to the battle. He says, awesome. Bring your brothers these cheese sandwiches and come back. David's like, who am I, Uber Eats? He goes and he delivers the sandwiches and he notices that there's not a battle. There's just one guy and he's kind of big. And all they need is one guy to fight the big guy. And nobody will do it. David's like, I'll do it. They're like, boy, you crazy. Get back there on your field. He's like, no, I'll do it. I'm like, you have to talk to the king. King says, why do you think you can do it? He said, well, you know, I've spent a lot of time on the backside of a field watching these sheep. And what happens when I'm watching the sheep is this lions, they come out of the woods and they come and they try and steal a sheep to eat. And he runs after the sheep. And if they kill the sheep, my dad will kill me. So I run after the lion and I take the lamb out of the mouth of the lion and I kill the lion. I didn't kill the lion because he was chasing me. I killed the lion because I was chasing him. He said, then a bear came and tried to do the same thing. He's like, a bear can't steal my sheep. I will kill the bear. The lion can't steal the sheep. I will kill the lion. And that guy can't come against my country because I will stand here and I will say, I have killed the lion. I have killed the bear. I have grown strong. I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to kill your uncircumcised flesh today. He got back there and he grew strong. Everybody say, grow strong. And then number two is we got to get prepared. Well, we're growing strong enough to do the job that we think we're ready to do. Because that's the promise with people is we think we're ready to do it already. You ever thought you were ready for something you wasn't ready for? Yeah, they say love is blind and marriage is a real eye-opener. Things are a little different when you get there. That's why we got to be prepared. Ashton, are you in here? Ashton, are you around? Hey, come on up here for a second. Grab a microphone on your way. I'm about to have her do something. You see, being prepared is like in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. There are these 10 bridesmaids. How many of you know 10 bridesmaids is an automatic hot mess? Say amen. You've been to a wedding. And there's these 10 bridesmaids, and they're waiting on a groom. Come over here. They're waiting on a groom. Now, while they're waiting for the groom, they said, hey, as soon as the groom gets here, we are late and we have to take off. So the Bible says, keep your wicks trimmed and your oil full. What it means for us is get the car, have your makeup, your curling iron, your shoes, and your dress in it. Make sure the gas tank is full and you got oil. Okay, so here we are waiting. And while we're all waiting, we wait so long everybody falls asleep. And then they say, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. The bridegroom is coming. Come on, come on. We got to go. We are late. We got to make it to the wedding. And as the bridegroom is coming, five of the girls are ready. And five of the girls say, hey, babe, there's like no gas in my car. And I forgot to like check the oil. And I just didn't. And there's no oil in it. So can I like siphon a little gas out of your car and get a little bit of oil out of your car and put it in my car? It said that five of the virgins didn't have their wicks trimmed and they didn't have any more oil in their lamp. They didn't have what they needed to make the trip. And so what happens is the five who are ready said, if you take my gas, I won't make it. I was prepared. You need to go to the gas station, girl. You need to be prepared. You see, when opportunity knocks, if you haven't developed your gift, when opportunity knocks, if you haven't developed the business plan, when opportunity knocks, if you don't have your elevator speech, come on, somebody. I want to hear you at Weldon. So with Ashton, Ashton has loved to sing her whole life. Come on over here. I'm about to make her do something, and she knows it. See, so what her daddy would do when she was 3, 4, 5 years old, he would say, Ashton, you need to be ready to sing a song when somebody asks. Because what would he tell you?
Well, he would say, if you're not ready, you might miss an opportunity.
Yeah. So for years, he'd be like, waitress, listen to her sing. Checkout lady at the grocery store, listen to her sing. Person on the street, listen to her sing. And she would sing with this lift because she was like 5 years old. But she always sang the same song. She always sang the same lines, and her dad always said the same thing. And it worked out because one day we were on a television set on international television, and they had a blank in their programming. And they're like, what are we going to do? And they're standing right there. He said, hey, hold on for a second. Hey, Ashton, can you sing for him for a second? And she knew what she was going to sing because she'd done it her whole life. She's 8 years old, 7 years old? Eight, and what'd you sing?
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark.
Now, see, her dad would know that part's not really showing off her voice, so he'd stop her right there, and he'd say this every time. No, baby, go to the chorus, go to the chorus. As if it was impromptu, but he was prepared. Go to the chorus, baby.
We could have had it all, rolling in the deep. You you have my heart inside of your hands, but you played it to the beat.
Woo! Is anybody as proud of her as I am? So good. So good. Perfect. And that TV producer said, that little 8-year-old girl, she sings like a 40-year-old jilted woman been smoking her whole life. Get her up here. She's singing on international TV today. And she walked right into that opportunity. And she walked right into several more. And she's a worship leader right here at Faith Church today because she was ready and prepared. Everybody say prepared.
Prepared.
We got to be prepared because there will come a moment in a pause that feels uncomfortable but is really the environment for your breakthrough. You see, that's what a seed is. A seed is ready for a breakthrough. You see, there's a plant on the inside of a seed. I know this because we used to live in the country, and my husband used to cut a watermelon in half and eat it with a spoon and spit the seeds out and throw the watermelon off the side of a hill. And then one day we went walking on the downside of the hill, and guess what we found on the downside of the hill? Watermelon patch. How'd the watermelon patch get there? Or these little hard black seeds. And you put the seed in the ground where it's tight. And then they put dirt on top of it so it's crunched. And it's dark. And it can't see nothing. And it's never been here before. And the seed can't like this because this is uncomfortable. Even my face is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. What is happening here? Why am I here? Why am I here? God, let me out. Let me out. It's dark. Let me out. It hurts. Let me out. It's tight. Let me out. Finances are tight. Let me out. We're trying to fight. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. God said, I could give you what you want, but you wouldn't want what you get. Here you are, tight, cold, dark, and alone, and in the perfect place for your breakthrough. You see, because there's this little sprout on the inside of the seed, but the sprout can't come out until the seed is ready. And here's the thing about seeds, if you study of them, that the hardness of a seed is directly proportionate to the amount of tannin that's in the seed. Two watermelon seeds might sprout at different times depending on the amount of tannin. The tannin makes it hard. I want you to turn to your neighbor at Ferguson Florissant and every campus right now and tell them, are you hard-headed? Turn to another neighbor and tell them, I can't believe she made me say that. Then turn back to that first person and say, but it might be true. It might be true. You see, there's a breakthrough a-coming, but I wonder how hard-headed, how hard-hearted, how stubborn we are, how much we've been listening to the enemy instead of God. Come on, that's good preaching right there. So we gotta get prepared. We gotta get strong. This is what happens. This is the purpose of the pause. The third purpose is to grow something. You see, I can guarantee you never in your life have you met a woman with a flat stomach that has come up to you and said, I'm pregnant, just found out. And the next day come up to you with a baby in the arms and said, told you I was pregnant, look, I got a baby. It doesn't happen like that. You see, the seed gets planted. Weren't we just talking about seeds? You see, the seed gets planted, but then it needs 40 weeks. Not 40 minutes, not 40 days. It needs 40 weeks to get ready to improve and mature and grow and be prepared and be strengthened. You see, for this dream on the inside of you to grow, there might be some systems that need to be developed. Some financial systems, some business systems, some relational systems, some mental systems, some emotional systems. That baby's got to develop a muscular system, a skeletal system, a cardiovascular system, a pulmonary system. It's got to, all these systems, nervous system, all these systems need to be developed. And I know you're in a hurry. Come on, God, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. But do you want to deliver that baby at 12 weeks, yes or no?
No.
Okay, well, fine, we'll give it a few more weeks. Do you want to deliver that baby at 20 weeks, yes or no?
No.
See, we're rushing the breakthrough, but it only hurts us. I'm pausing right there because that is a seed that needs to be planted in some hearts. Because I'm not telling you this message to keep you from anything. God's not putting you on that pause to keep you from everything. God is putting you on that pause to grow you into something. Come on, somebody. The Israelites were on the edge of the wilderness for 40 years because they had to grow from slaves to warriors. Moses was on the backside of a desert for 40 years because he had to grow from murderer to deliverer. He's like, but I had the same motive the whole time. I was trying to deliver the slaves here and trying to deliver the slaves here. Yeah, but 40 years of growing and preparation and strengthening meant he had the right motive the whole time, but he had the wrong method. God's wanting to do something with you. And that's why in our last 3 minutes together, I want to talk to you about the last thing. And being on pause gives us time to assume the power position. Now, Harvard did a study. The power position looks like a superhero. Wonder Woman, Superman. Arms out, shoulders back, head up, spine extended, standing strong, feet apart. And Harvard says if you stand like this for 2 minutes, your testosterone goes up by 20%, even in women. Cortisol, the stress hormone, goes down by 18%. You make 33% riskier decisions after standing like this for 2 minutes. And a lot of times that risk is what you need to overcome your fear. Harvard did an incredible study, and I believe in this power position. I'm wanting to preach like this from now on for 2 minutes. But I believe there's a more powerful prayer position. This position brings more power. You see, even Jesus needed to pause as he was on his way to the crucifix to do the greatest thing ever done by any person who walked on this planet. As he was getting ready to deliver all of humanity, he knew the plan, he knew the play, but he still paused to pray. God, is this really what you want? I mean, I think it's the plan. God, is this the way you want to do it? I always thought it was the plan. And then he paused. He didn't just talk. You see, to have God speak to the heart is a majestic experience. It's an experience that people can miss if they monopolize the conversation and never pause to hear God's response. And once he got God's response, he was able to stand. He was able to walk to it. He was ready. You see, coming to church helps with your power posture. Getting in a small group, Ferguson, it helps with your power posture. If you're not in a small group, family, I want to challenge you today. Before you exit the building, it's time. It's time to get a booklet. It's time to take a look. It's time to commit. I don't have any time. It's a whole hour per week, and there's online ones if you can't drive. Everybody say, it's time. It's time to break through. It's time to let this pause in your life do everything that God has been wanting to do the whole time. You see, God puts us on pause, but a lot of times we determine the length. It's time. You know, don't get frustrated with a pause. The pause is where he answers you. The pause is where he guides you. The pause is where he strengthens you. The pause is where he prepares you. The pause is where he grows you. The pause is where he acclimates you. The pause is where he meets you in prayer. The pause is where he's gracious to you. The pause is where he's merciful to you. The pause is where he redeems you. The pause is where he restores you. The pause is where he is planning your blessing while we're blaming him for not doing anything. So all campuses on television, online campus, would you stand with me right now? And if you'd like me to pray for the pause that you've been on in your life, would you join me in the international sign of surrender? And as we're in this position, I'd like to ask your permission. The temptation for me would be, pray for quick breakthrough. That's what people are going to want. But that's not necessarily what God's going to want. God's going to want patience for the process. Is it okay with you if I pray for patience for the process? Father God, in the name of Jesus, the position of surrender with hands up is also the position of receiving. And right now I pray that the Holy Spirit of God is poured out from heaven and we receive your strength, God. We receive your patience, God. We receive your temperance, God. We receive your courage, God. We receive trust in our hearts to trust you with every moment of our life. When we feel like it's taken too long, we reframe our thinking. We know it's not too long. It's just perfect. God's got me just where he wants me. And if I just trust him, he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And right now, God, you are working on our breakthrough. You are working on our blessing, and we are headed to it expediently in Jesus' name. name we pray. And if you believe it's true, shout amen and amen. Give God a good hand clap of praise.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.